the rest of the story. The armed revolt had taken the Nazis completely by surprise. The Nazis did not like surprises. So from Hitler himself came the orders to stop any further such resistance before it started and by whatever means necessary. That was August 6, 1944, Black Sunday. SS and Gestapo stormed through the streets of the city, breaking down doors house by house, rounding up anyone and everyone who appeared even remotely capable of challenging the authority of the Third Reich. Before the night was through, more than 8,000 male citizens, many of them just young boys, would be herded into a canvas-covered truck and swept away to prisons and concentration camps. Not even official work certificates deterred the jackbooted abductors. At least that's how history retells the terror. But now, through the eyes of a 24-year-old factory worker, you're going to hear the rest of the story. Lolek had led a charmed life to that point. When he was only 10 or so, a playmate brandishing a rifle neither boy believed was loaded aimed the weapon at Lolek and pulled the trigger. The bullet missed him by a fraction of an inch. Then one afternoon this past February, walking home from a double shift at the factory, he was struck by a speeding army truck. The young man remained unconscious for 9 hours before awakening in the hospital with a concussion and multiple injuries, and yet, incredibly, he was alive. But on that evening of the following August 6, it seemed Lolek's luck had finally run out. He'd been living in the basement apartment of an aunt and uncle's house. In fact, it was there when the old couple, alerted by shouts in the street, rushed down to warn him that Hitler's kidnappers were coming. "You must hide in the thick bushes in the garden," his aunt declared. But Lolek and his uncle insisted that they were going nowhere without her. It was in the middle of this argument that they heard the thudding sound of Gestapo shoulders at the front door, just before the door came crashing off its hinges. Boot heels thundered on the floor above their heads, followed by angry, unintelligible voices and screeching furniture and more doors slamming open, and his aunt and his uncle stood frozen and wide-eyed. Lolek, trembling, sank to his knees and began to pray. The chaos above them grew louder. Now kneeling was not enough, Lolek thought to himself, for if he must surrender to the Nazis, and it now seemed certain that he must, he would first surrender completely to God. And deciding this, he lowered himself face down until his body was prostrate on the floor. Nobody can say for sure why the stormtroopers did not open the basement door that night, nor why, strangely, satisfied to discover no one, they simply went away. But at last, Lolek knew. For it was not merely good fortune which had spared him so remarkably as a boy and as a man. It was a higher power calling him to a higher purpose which he must honor forever after. Until this moment, perhaps you never knew the child almost killed by an unloaded gun, nor the young factory worker who survived the bumper of a speeding truck, and even the wrath of a Nazi roundup in Krakow, Poland in 1944. You know instead the priest he became, and still is, Lucky Lolek. Lucky Lolek. Karol Wojtyła, whom the world reveres as Pope John Paul II. Only now you know the rest of the story.